You we know really well, and it's just so good to see you all and to share this time with you. So thank you for inviting us. The reading this morning is, as Chris just said, is from John 21, and the title in my Bible is Jesus and the Miraculous Catch of Fish. From verse 1 up to verse 14, chapter 21 of John. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Well, I just want to add to what Nesta said. What a great opportunity, pleasure it is for Nesta and myself to be with you today. Obviously, it just seems such a long time that we've been together, and I don't know what you feel about this last 12 months or so. In some ways, it feels like it's just been a kind of lost 12 months in some ways. And yeah, I think actually there's lots of things we've learned as well. My title for today actually is Finding God in Uncertain Times. Okay, so I'm not actually ignoring the fact that it's Pentecost Sunday. In fact, I'd like to allude to that. But I did choose a different scripture because I felt like God was prompting this particular one. Interestingly, you know, the passage we just read, story about the disciples, and they're in this sort of in-between time. They know that Jesus has been resurrected. It's incredibly exciting and a bit confusing, but they have no yet clarity about where they're going or what the future looks like. And I think these are kind of in-between times. I don't know how you're feeling at the moment. I don't know how you're regarding, you know, we're coming out, hopefully, of some lockdown, and certainly there's a bit of an uncertainty about the future. So much has been said about it. I just like to draw one or two things, if I could, from this for today. We're going to do it in two parts. We're going to do the first bit and then another bit in a minute. Firstly, let me just explain a dream I had. This was a dream somewhere back in during lockdown, sometime when. I can't remember exactly when. It all becomes a blur, doesn't it, really, anyway. This dream wasn't actually particularly spectacular. It wasn't sort of you know, dramatic in any way, but it was actually what made it memorable for me was the feelings that it invoked in me. And basically, in this dream, I was in a car, driving a car on such a familiar road. It was just so familiar. I kind of knew every turn. I knew, didn't need to think about it at all. I was almost like, those of you who do drive will probably know what I mean, sort of automatic pilot. You're not noticing anything. It's just all kind of very, very familiar. So you don't need to think and you just go in. I go around this corner and then suddenly there is this sign across the road, road closed, diversion. And as I turned off, it was like a right angle turn off. As I turned off, it was immediately I was going into unknown territory. And I think what happened to me was suddenly all my senses were alerted, if you like. You know, suddenly I was like watching out for, looking for, because it wasn't familiar. I was looking for the signs. I was looking for the bends in the road. And all my senses, I was kind of listening, looking all the more sharply. And I guess what happened was when I woke up, I felt God was saying something to me about that. Look, when you go into uncharted, or if you like, sort of uncertain and unknown future, I think God even wants us to have all our senses, if you like, alerted and leaning towards him. Suddenly we can't depend on, I just know the way we do this. We've always done it this way. It's just so familiar. Suddenly we're looking in a different way and needed to be sensitive in a different way. This time that we're in right now, about to sort of, it's like moving into a new era that's got uncertainty. Nobody can yet predict where we're going, what it's going to look like. It does actually remind me of our very earliest of days. And I would just want to refer to them because this isn't, by the way, nostalgia and just kind of looking back. I think it's really quite important that sometimes we go, I felt like this before. And our experience right at the beginning, and by that I mean your church, Iscus Church beginnings, as well as my own experience, was actually due to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was like our Pentecost. And in those days, the Spirit was poured out. This is going back 50 years now, I guess. And we were suddenly into a whole new era of which was uncharted, if you like. And in those days, we talked a lot about being Spirit-filled. And I wonder if that's actually what God is leaning us towards these days. I need you to be a Spirit-filled people. We talked about baptism in the Spirit, which we don't do quite so much these days, about being immersed in the Spirit. We also talked a lot about being Spirit-led, the leading of the Holy Spirit. We didn't have too many, in those days, books or conferences or strategic plans for where to go. We were like having to be Spirit-led. And that was kind of another, if like, factor. And then we were Spirit-inspired. That means like there was a whole wave of creativity that came out because we were looking to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we had new songs. There was new kind of shapes of church being formed, new churches, all kinds of new initiatives coming. So I think this season that we're in right now reminds me of those earliest days. And I feel like I wonder if these are new days of where we need a new dependence on the Holy Spirit. So let me move to the passage that we've just been reading about. And here's this story of Peter, the disciples, meeting with Jesus in this uncertain, if you want to call it, in-between times. And I just wanted to just draw two or three really simple things from the passage. I think there's a lot we could learn from this little story. But I just wanted to sort of just pick out just two or three things for the moment. The first is this, is that Jesus comes into our everyday lives. See, here they are in this in-between times. And what does Peter choose to do? He says, well, look, I'll tell you what, guys, I'm going fishing. And they say, yeah, great, we'll come with you. There are different people have different views on this. Was this a sort of a bit of unbelief? Personally, I've got no problem with Peter kind of going like, here we are in in-between. What should I do? I'll do what I know to do. I'll just do what I do best. Let's go fishing. You know, so it's kind of like what I'm going to do in when I don't quite know what else to do, I'm going to do fishing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think it was a sign of anything disobedient or wrong. It's just like, okay, we're going to go fishing. Unfortunately, it wasn't like particularly successful in it. But nonetheless, it was like, that's what he did. And so it was in this context of his ordinary life, almost like going about his ordinary life, his job, that he meets Jesus. Jesus comes into his everyday life. I actually really like this story because it's not, it's like, here's an encounter with Jesus that isn't actually in a meeting. It's not in the upper room. It's not in the synagogue. It's not there. It's in everyday life. It's kind of on a fishing moment. And, you know, I love it. Jesus is not sort of like making some large and holy moment happen. He's doing breakfast on the beach. I find that really, really encouraging. That actually, I don't know about you, but maybe over this last 12 months or so, we haven't been able to find Jesus meeting with us. We haven't been able to find God in quite the same ways that we have traditionally done so. If you said to me, where have you most experienced God over the last 20, 30 years? I'd say, well, I remember a fantastic meeting. I remember glorious worship time. I remember times when we were together in fellowship and ministry, and we met God there. Over the last 12 months, we've had to find him in new ways. And this is actually, I think, where the Holy Spirit, if you like, is been coming into our lives. And do you know what? We've had to find Jesus in our everyday lives, in a walk in the countryside, in our own homes, just on our own, or in our everyday life. So that's just the first simple point, but actually that Jesus comes to us in our everyday lives. I think that's just a great lesson to keep being learning. And it's not all about our meetings. It's actually finding and leaning and learning that Jesus comes to us in everyday lives. Here's the second thing. One word from Jesus changes everything. That's the story. That's the message of this story, or one of the key parts of it, is that in the very sort of like center of this is one word from Jesus and it all changes. Now, I think what's happening here is that Jesus is actually not saying to them, right, what you've been doing, completely forget it all, tear it all up. I'm going to show you a completely new way to do fishing. What it is like, it actually is a very familiar way in which they were doing it. He doesn't say, here's lots of new techniques, here's a very complex answer. He simply says, put your fish on the other, which actually looks very similar to what was done before. The difference is it's a directing from Jesus. And I suppose this is just something I'm feeling about the church at this time, where everybody is saying, we're going to come out of this and we're never going to be the same again. We're going to be different. We're going to be so different. And I'm thinking, yes, we probably are, but nobody can tell me how different or in what way. I actually wonder if actually we'll come out of it actually looking quite similar. In other words, it's not a huge, complex tear up of everything we've ever done before. And let's do something completely other. It's almost like we might come out looking somewhat the same. But the key difference is Jesus is directing. It's his word to say, and here's what I want you to do, and here's when I want you to do it. You see, the difference wasn't the complete change of fishing. It was just simply a directing as to where and to how. And I wonder if that's actually something for us as churches to sort of be aware of. I don't know. We don't know how the future is going to unfold. We're going to be led by the Spirit as we do that. And the third thing, just to say simply from this passage at the moment, is that God's heart for us is always to lead us into fruitfulness. His heart is to lead us into fruitfulness. It's a sign. It's a mark of, look, I am with you. And I'm, and it's me who's guiding you and leading you, is that it's fruitfulness that he leads us into. The disciples caught nothing. He brings his direction to them, and suddenly fruitfulness is the mark. See, I think that even through these times of uncertainty and all the challenges, if you like, that we have been going through, that what God wants to lead us into, and a mark of his leading, is actually fruitfulness. It's to bring us through something and into fruitfulness. That's the story of the Bible. That's the story of Exodus, out of Egypt and into not just a land, but a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, I want to bring you through the valley of the shadow of death, not just into another place, but into green pastures and wonderful places of that. You know, we get worried about the word prosperity, but I think God wants to do something. That's his heart. How do I know this? Because I know him. How do we know this? Because we know him. We, you know, as that famous little saying goes, we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And I'm going, I don't know really how it's all going to pan out. None of us really do. But our faith and our confidence is saying we know who God is and we know what he's like. And so I believe that God wants to lead us out from this time and into fruitfulness. It wasn't just a few fish that they caught. They make a point of going like large fish, big ones, 153. The whole point of nets are straining. The whole thing is, I think God still, his heart for us is not that we limp out and just try to pick up where we were before, but in as we listen and see him and hear his voice as he speaks to us, that as he leads us and guides us by his spirit, that we come into prosperity. I've just got a couple more things to say in the second part, a few minutes. Just
pass back to you now, Mark.
Thank you. And I just feel I actually just need to say just several times in this meeting today, I just felt really quite moved. And I do feel like the sense of the idea that this is Pentecost and that Spirit has been poured out is very, very real for us still today. And I love the song that we began this morning with, particularly the one that's about the kingdom coming. And I do feel that's about what I was even saying about that Jesus meets us in our everyday, and that the song was about God coming into our society and into our workplace, so on. Just a couple of things then to just draw out from it as we draw this to a conclusion. I think these are things that we can learn from the story, lessons for us. And the first one is just two things, really. The first one is about our sensitivity. Our sensitivity. To be led by the Spirit, to be guided by the word, if you like, that Jesus speaks, we have to be those who can listen and hear his voice, who are sensitive. You know, I was in my dream when I was driving, suddenly all my senses were alerted. I believe God wants us to be in that sort of mode today, where we are more open, more sensitive than we've been. We are going into unfamiliar routes, and therefore we need to be guided and led and be therefore much more sensitive. It's actually key that because his word changes everything, we need to get that word. In our early days, Holy Spirit was poured out. We're all kind of like excited and fresh, not knowing where we were going. But one of the key words, phrases we used was the word of the Lord. And we would say, is that the word of the Lord for you? Is this the word of the Lord? Maybe we don't use that, I don't know, so much today. But what we simply mean by it is this is actually God's clear directive word for us or for me. And it could come from scripture, it could come from prophecy, it could come from just out of a conversation. But you go, is that the word of the Lord for you? Yes, it's the word of the Lord. It means it's got life to me. It actually is like Jesus speaking and changes everything. And I believe that we are in those days of saying, when you hear the word of the Lord, you're left with another choice, obedience or not. Okay? And that's another thing we used to talk about quite a bit. If the word of the Lord has come to you, are you going to be obedient to it? But I do believe that that's what we need to be sensitive for, sensitive to be listening for the word of the Lord. About a week ago, I was in a meeting. We had a day's meeting for a charity that I'm the chair of trustees for. It's kind of young but quite fast growing charity. And for different reasons, we've needed to appoint a new CEO leader for the charity. And two or three of us as trustees came into the day saying, wonder if we feel like it might be that we need to sort of raise up two people to joint lead this thing. So, and as we went into the day to try and consider it, consider that, one or two people felt that, but one or two others, for obvious reasons, said, are you sure that's going to work? There's a lot of reasons why that may not work very well. And we all know that. But we were trying to sort of ponder on it and talk it through. And there was one or two that were perhaps a little more reluctant to follow through the idea. In the middle of the day, one of the people there in the room says, can I just play you this? And they got their phone, and somebody had literally just then sent them a voice message. And this person, who was a long way away and knew nothing about what we were doing that day, just was said to them, had phoned this message in and said, I just want to say this to you. I've been praying for you today. And they started to say this, and we listened in the room. It says, I feel these words coming to me, co-leadership. And it was like, I don't know if you've been in those moments before, but it was almost like, I call it a goosebump moment. It was like the very thing we've been talking about, the very thing that we felt like. And it was like, that's the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. And even the people who doubted laughed. They just said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. So that actually helped us. And do you know what? It took the day from kind of wrestling and walking through treacle a little bit, trying to find it. Suddenly it was life. Suddenly it was just something fresh and new. We need to be more sensitive. Nestor and I are just going through a season right now where we've got big decision to make about the rest or the next season of our life. And what we want to do is not just get a plan, not just get some strategy. We're looking for the word of the Lord. Because when you get the word of the Lord and our sensitivity to listen, to hear the word of the Lord, it gives us huge confidence for going into the future. So the first thing is our sensitivity. And the second and final thing is about our heart. And I picked this up from the story. You see, God is always, always primarily interested in our hearts. Peter is just such a fantastic character there in the Bible because he gets so many things wrong. I think it just gives us huge, huge kind of confidence and encouragement. And he comes out of his time of huge, like, failings, if you like, and how he knows his failings. And yet, you see, out of that, Jesus looks not at our failings, not at what we've done right or wrong. He looks at our heart. And I don't know if you just read it or saw this in the story, but it's John, I think. We think it's John who actually discerns that it's Jesus on the beach. It's not Peter. He's not the best discerning one. But it's Peter who just goes, it's Jesus. And jumps out of the boat and rushes towards him. I think that is why Peter could go on to be used and on the day of Pentecost could be the one who became the voice, if you like, to bring in this incredible message to the world. And I love this because it means that, you know what? We can get an awful lot of things wrong. But he looks at our heart. And somehow or another, Peter was not held back by his own failings. His heart just spilled out, his enthusiasm. I suppose I've been feeling a little bit recently, I don't know how many of us maybe have felt pretty weary and worn down. You know, the fire in our life is kind of just a bit diminished and we're just feeling pretty weary with it all. Well, I want just to encourage us to go, despite all of that, never mind all our failings and what we've not been, I think God's looking at our heart. And what he wants is a heart that when we see him, we still got enough that sparks and leaps towards him and says, we want to respond to you, Lord. I believe these are days in which we need to be spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-inspired. We want to respond to the word of the Lord coming into us in our everyday life and into leading us into fruitfulness. I believe these are times when he wants us to be a sensitive people, listening, tuning in, hearing what you've got to say, and whose hearts are fundamentally still pursuing after him. Let me just pray, can I? Lord God, we thank you today that this celebration of your spirit being poured out. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come. That you have come and you come to bring Jesus to us, to reveal the Father to us. Thank you that you have come to lead us forwards, and our confidence and our trust is in you today. Lord, I pray that you would cause our hearts to be touched. We want to respond, Lord, to your word. We want to respond to the word of the Lord that brings life, that brings creativity, that brings direction. And Lord, I want our hearts to be, if you like, catching fire afresh with all that you want to do. Lord, lead us into this slightly daunting, but nonetheless exciting future that we can't quite see all of it yet, but we put our trust in you. And we say that we know you. We put our hand in your hand and we ask you to lead us forwards in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you very much for that word, Mark. So may we find God in new ways in our everyday lives, because one word from Jesus changes everything. And God's heart is to make us fruitful and sensitive to all that he does. As part of our response, we're going to break bread.